Welcome back to our series on the Tabernacle, and we're studying the Lord's Prayer as seen in the Tabernacle, and this is part 7. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." And this is the altar of sacrifice. Last week we looked at how the laver was the place where we come for personal confession, because it was made of the mirrors of the women of Israel. And in the old days, the priests would have to wash their hands and their feet before they could go into the holy place. And it said if they didn't wash their hands and their feet, they would die. That's how serious it was. So we look at personal confession. This is in the outer court. And as we're walking through the tabernacle, you know, the spirit is the holiest of holies, the spirit room. And then we look at the holy place, and that's our soul, the mind, will, and emotion, where we saw the three pieces of furniture, the laver, no, the altar of incense, the candelabra, and the table of showbread. Then we move to the outer court, which represents our body. And we were at the laver, which is cleansing. And so what we looked at, we see that the laver represents our confession of sin. Even though we're already believers, we're going to heaven, we will battle sin our whole life. So I don't want you to think that because we're saved and we're children of God and we have a new identity, that doesn't mean that we don't struggle with sin. And this prayer of cleansing, when we pray and confess our sins, this is not for salvation, but for sanctification. It's so that we're not hindered in our relationship with God. So as we come to God and something comes to our mind about an area where we've fallen short, and we do fall short, we just come and we confess our sin before God and we turn from sin. And that was a beautiful picture of the laver. And today we look at as we forgive others, those who have sinned against us. And I think how fitting that this piece of furniture in the outer court is the altar of sacrifice, because forgiving others is a very, very difficult thing to do. In fact, it may be the most difficult thing God calls upon us to do is to forgive others. It's easy to forgive people things that are not important, but all of us have received offenses, insults, hurts that go very, very deep. And emotionally, it's really hard to let go of offenses when we've been hurt very, very deeply. So let's take a look at this whole idea of forgiveness. And I just want to pause for a moment that as long as we're in these physical bodies, as I said a few moments ago, we're going to struggle with sin. And, you know, we have to be honest with ourselves, and that's why we confess our sins. But people are also going to sin against us. And I think how appropriate and how fitting it is that first we come to God and ask Him for forgiveness, because then it makes it easier for us to forgive others, you know, because we're all guilty. The Bible says, don't judge another person lest you also be judged, because the thing that you judge another person and you're also guilty of. Isn't that true? The thing that we often struggle with, if we see it in other people, it kind of irritates us because it's triggering something within us. So let's talk today a little bit about forgiving other people. You know, we can't do an exhaustive teaching on forgiveness, but just make a point that God wants us to forgive others. So we're going to do a little discussion, a little chat today about forgiveness and how we come to the altar of incense. I like this saying, and I don't know where I first heard it from, but it goes like this. Wounded people wound, healed people heal. And that means that everybody has been wounded, but not everybody has gotten over their woundedness. Wounded people wound. When you see people hurting other people, just remember that they were also hurt by someone. But healed people have also been wounded, but have chosen to walk in forgiveness. And through their healing, they're healing other people. And I think it's really important to point out that we all need to choose whether we're going to forgive or walk in that healing or not. And I think as a person, no matter what someone else may have done to me, we've all had hurts. I've hurt people myself. I've been hurt by people. We can choose to be people of forgiveness by God's grace. And that's what we really want to talk about today. And that's so important. Our faith is based on forgiveness. We've received forgiveness, but God also expects us to forgive. Luke 17, 1-4 says this. Then he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. So what Jesus is saying here is, if you live on planet Earth, I'm paraphrasing it, of course, if you live on planet Earth, you're going to be offended. Things are going to come that offend. The thing that we can offer people, we can offer forgiveness. Now, in this case, if the person comes and asks your forgiveness and keeps on sinning, we keep forgiving them. But I think the real point is that we have to forgive unconditionally, whether they, in fact, ask forgiveness or not. If they ask forgiveness, it's much easier to forgive people because it shows that their heart is turning and they're repenting. But even if people don't repent, we should forgive them unconditionally. So we need to forgive others because we ourselves have been forgiven of our trespasses. Unforgiveness hinders our relationship with God. One of the biggest reasons we forgive is because we want that forgiveness, that relationship with God, to be kept open. Ephesians 4:30 says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, with along with all malice. But here's the important part in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. See, the reason we forgive other people is because God forgave us. That's the real reason we forgive other people. We received God's forgiveness, so we extend God's forgiveness. Luke 6:45 says this, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So you see, bitterness is just the revelation, just the manifestation of a heart of unforgiveness. So often we catch ourselves in things we say about other people. It can be evil speaking, it can be angry speaking, but the heart is revealed by the mouth. And the things that we say often will betray what's really going in our heart. And it's often the place when we feel, and when I feel convicted about having unforgiveness speak, it's how we speak. It's whether we speak poorly about other people, gossip, all kinds of bitterness, speaking poorly, maliciously about people. Those are things that really grieve the Spirit of God, and that really affects our relationship. Obviously, God loves us, and obviously we're still going to heaven, but it really hinders our walk on earth. And that's why it's so, so important to watch our hearts and to make sure that the things we say about other people come from a heart that's good. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says this, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. But I like the way the King James says it, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And I like what it says, looking diligently. You know, sometimes when you're in a situation, you have to look diligently for the grace of God, because offense is so easy to take. It's so easy to become bitter and hurt very quickly as things come up. And so we have to diligently look for the grace of God. And we have to guard our heart. We have to be on guard. And offenses can come so easily, even when you're not looking for offenses. I remember one time, this was quite a few years ago, I was in another country. I won't mention which country or where it was. But I was in a country. I was invited to an evangelistic meeting. It was in another language. So I didn't understand what the preacher was saying, but I was privileged to be there, and I was invited to join. So I just sat, and he spoke to quite a large group of people. And afterward, the evangelist wanted to speak to me. And I thought, well, I'd be happy to speak with him. I knew him superficially. And I was just making small talk with them, just great to be here and God bless you and love your heart for reaching people with Jesus. And I just said to him, how do you meet people? Like, how do you invite people to these meetings? Like getting a group of people this big, that's quite good. And all of a sudden, I triggered something in him that set him off, and I wasn't sure what it was. You know, you ever walk like a landmine and you step on something, and all of a sudden someone's really angry with you, and he just got really annoyed with me. And I'm not sure exactly what I said that triggered him off, but he says that he hates leeches, and he says everybody has to find their own people for their meetings, and he says if I ever come to his event, his church, he's going to shoot me. That's what he said to me. And so he got really offended with me, and I just waited, and I realized that I was being tested. So while he's kind of steaming off at me and getting angry and calling me a leech, and I just wasn't sure where he was going for that, I just thought, okay, I'm stepping on landmines here, I thought in my mind. And I just prayed, and I said, Lord, I don't want to take offense. I was looking diligently for the grace of God, because I knew if I took offense, it's going to make him angry, I'm going to build a wall. So I just waited till he was finished, and I just said, well, thank you for telling me that information. That's very helpful. I'll be sensitive to follow your desire. So thank you very much. I just did not want to walk in the spirit of offense. I'm not sure that I answered him rightly, but I know I didn't answer him wrongly. Of all the thoughts, I just thought, where do I go with this? I didn't want to get mad at him and attack him and say, how could you speak to me that way? I was tempted to, but I looked diligently and said, oh God, give me the right answer. I turned to the Lord and I just said, I don't want to take offense. And I remember afterward, the person who invited me to the meeting, I just turned to him and I said, was that me or did I sound like I'm being told off? And he said, Harvey, I've never seen him treat anybody like that before. I said, I think there was just a miscue. How about we just leave it and never bring it up again? We just let it go. Sometimes you have to treat offenses like that and realize there was some miscue. I maybe should have said, oh, did I offend you or go into it? But I just, at that time, I just realized that we were not queuing up, that I must have said something that triggered something within him that set him off and made him angry. I just let it go. But the neat thing was, and even as I went to bed that night, I could feel that spirit of offense trying to, and I just said, no, I'm not going to get offended. And I turned my mind, I changed my thinking, and I blessed him. I said, Lord, bless his ministry. Lord, I know I'm being tested. I just want to pass. And I just literally changed my mind and thought about other things and chose to be thankful. And of course, you know, after a while, those thoughts just loosen their grip and they're not there any longer. But I didn't allow my heart to get bitter at him, and I blessed him because I realized there was something miscued. Maybe it was a language barrier. I don't know, but I just let it go. I just chose not to be offended. Here's the beautiful thing. That week in that country, I had the most amazing opportunity to share Christ with another person, completely unrelated in the natural, but I think in the spiritual, I was being tested. And I think that the Lord was pleased that I passed that test. By the way, I failed many times in those tests, but this time I happened to pass. And it was so neat. I was free. I had no bitterness. I wasn't brooding. I wasn't angry at this guy's response to me. I just let it go. And it was just, I treated it as if it didn't happen. So you see how not taking an offense, we have to sometimes, our part is to diligently look for the grace of God. What that means to me is I turn to God right away. I tell God, I'm tempted to be offended. It's not wrong to be hurt, by the way. You know, you get hurt. People are, it was offensive and rude what the person said. But I choose to believe that God's got grace for me to not get offended. Because he said, so I diligently looked for it and I prayed for it. And one of the things that I do that helps me is to pray for those who say things that are rude and hurtful against you. Lord, just bless them. Lord, would you release them? You know, Jesus even said about those who were crucifying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And there must be an element of ignorance or miscue. So just let it go. And obviously, if it comes up again, and it never came up again, but if it were to come up again, maybe that's the time to say, listen, I think we have a little problem. Can we talk about this? I think I've offended you, or did I say something to hurt you or annoy you because I didn't mean to? Then I could do it. But for that night, and that's what I thought at the time, like I said, there's probably many different ways to handle it properly. I handled the best way I knew how, but I know one thing, the one way to not handle it is to get offended and angry and to start speaking against that person. That's why I want to keep it in God's grace. I don't want to ever speak badly about this person who's a good person. Obviously, there was an offense, but I want to tell you something. Offenses come in all kinds of shapes and forms, and they come often. And we live in a world where there's tons of offenses. We have to choose to walk in forgiveness. And of course, it's easier to walk in forgiveness before we take up the offense than to get offended and then have to work through that problem as well. I remember what the famous evangelist who's now with the Lord, Reinhard Bonnke. You know, if anybody could have gotten offended, it was Reinhard. People would say horrible things against Reinhard's ministry. And he made this choice early on in his ministry. He says this. He said, I am on the international, I'm on the combine harvester, thank you. I'm on the combine harvester for Jesus, and I'm not stopping to catch a mouse. And what he means by that is he's looking to the goal, to the prize, to all these millions of people that have come to faith in Christ. And these little critics that come along to try and distract him, he's not going to bite it. You know, he's never openly ever criticized another ministry or another minister. He's never been distracted by things that were said against him. He has kept his focus, and he's walked in the love of Jesus. He's ignored those things. I think that's awesome, that Reinhard Bonnke, who's now with the Lord, what a great example he has been to all of us about how to handle offense. He chose not to walk in offense. And that's when you're not walking in offense, guess what you're doing? You're walking in love. Because love chooses not to take up an offense. And it's love that motivates us to forgive other people. And so I'm just so appreciative of that wonderful example. There was a famous book written years ago called God's Generals. And in that book, there was great stories about people of the last 100 years that had great and mighty ministries, healings, you know, faith ministries. They did great miracles, all kinds of supernatural things. But, you know, it was showing their not only their strengths in the wonderful ministry, but also their faults. And one of the areas of weakness of some of these generals is that they took offense. You know, if you want to be used by God, you've got to be toughening yourself up against the insults of other people and ignore them. Ignore the insults. Don't take it to heart. Because if you are worth your weight in salt in terms of the ministry, you're going to be come under ridicule and criticism. Of course, we want to be correctable. Of course, if people say things about us that are true that we need to change, we need to listen to. But when there's unwarranted criticism, we are not to become self-righteous and hurt. We're to walk in love. We walk in forgiveness. And we pray for those who speak evil against us. That's one of the ways to overcome evil with good. And so the beauty of walking in forgiveness is we're really overcoming evil. Because taking up offense is a snare of the enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. This is what Paul wrote. He says, "For this is why I wrote, that I might test you to know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that you would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs." You got to remember, when offense comes, it's because the enemy is trying to trip you up in your ministry. Unforgiveness is one of the worst destroyers of ministry because it destroys relationships. You know that if you take up unforgiveness against someone, not only does it poison you, it poisons many other people. That's why it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, and thereby bitterness springing up and defiles what? Many. So when someone becomes bitter, it's not that they just become bitter, but they embitter the relationships around them that are already, that are good. A bitter husband can make his wife bitter. He can make his children bitter by holding offense against other people. There can be all kinds of pollution spiritually because of bitterness. It is such a robber of relationship. A beautiful illustration a friend gave me many years ago, and he said that they were preparing a turkey for Thanksgiving, and he inadvertently nicked the gallbladder of the turkey, and this bitter yellow liquid just sort of spread into the meat. Of course, they tried to cut it out, but they found that they just couldn't get rid of the bitter taste. Once it seeped out of the gallbladder, that bitter gall, they call it, and it tainted the meat, that they just couldn't get rid of. They had to throw the whole bird out because that little root of bitterness it defiled much. So be careful, because when we're affected by bitterness, we affect many people. We can become a hindrance to many people. In the same way, if we become healed and we walk in forgiveness, the influence of the gospel is so much bigger. And that's why the Bible says that we have to watch our hurt. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27 says this: be angry and do not sin. So anger in itself isn't sin. It only becomes sin when we hold on to it and it becomes unforgiveness. So it says, be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give an opportunity to the devil. You see, unforgiveness is an opportunity to the devil, because bitterness and unforgiveness bring division. They destroy churches. Many churches have been destroyed through unforgiveness. And I like what John Mitchell has said to me. He says, if you give the devil a foothold, he will give you a stronghold. In other words, you let this little area of unforgiveness in, and it becomes a stronghold in your life where it takes over, and people have been consumed and destroyed by bitterness. So the purpose that we forgive is not only to release other people, it's to release ourselves. When we can't come and walk in forgiveness, which is the love of Christ, we are held in bitter bondage. It just totally wrecks our testimony. It wrecks our ability to communicate the love of Christ, because we're walking in bondage. We're not walking in freedom. And that's why I present the forgive others their trespasses against us as the altar of sacrifice. Let's take a look at the description of the bronze altar, as it's called. The bronze altar was for burnt offerings, stood in the outer courtyard with its poles removed. It was a hollow wooden box overlaid with bronze, measuring 4.5 feet high, 7.5 feet long and wide. And there was a bronze grating on the top and on the sides of the altar. The altar is to be made with horns on each corner. The function and significance of the horns are not explained, but they're referred to when both Adonijah and Joab take hold of them in order to seek refuge. And so we see this bronze box, and what it was grated, which means the coals, the wood that was burned underneath it, would be used for burning the sacrifices on top. And of course, bronze represents judgment in the Bible, and we know that's where sin was judged. And of course, when we come in this aspect of our offering it, we are forgiving. This is a place of forgiveness where sin is judged. Jesus died for our sins so we can be forgiven. And we're coming to the altar of sacrifice, and we're making a sacrifice. We're choosing to forgive unconditionally those who've offended us. So their sin is being offered back to God, and we forgive them because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And of course, the horns represented power, bronze represented judgment, and of course, that burnt offering, that fire represents the suffering. So there's an element where we come and we make this difficult sacrifice. Don't kid yourself. Forgiveness is not easy. It's not something, oh, I just forgive them. You know, it is a process. And it begins with the fact that we've been forgiven by Jesus Christ, and we don't deserve God's forgiveness, so we forgive others in the same way. Like what Paul said, he says, forgiving others, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. How did he forgive us? He forgave us because of the cross. And we forgive others because we don't deserve God's forgiveness either. So Jesus asks us to forgive others in the same way we've been forgiven. And he gave us a parable in Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 23. He says this: therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children, and all that he had made payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have all patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of what the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, and he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw that he had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Forgiveness is all about releasing others from your debt. And look at this beautiful illustration. He used it as a king. The one man that owed the king a huge amount of money that he couldn't pay back, the king forgave him. But then he had a friend who he'd lend money to, which was much, much smaller, who couldn't pay the debt. But instead of forgiving him, he said, "I'm going to hold you to that debt." And so Jesus was using this as a story. Listen, God's forgiven us. We've sinned far more against God than another person has ever sinned against us. So the way we've received forgiveness, we forgive others. And in that context, that makes it easier for us to forgive. And of course, if we don't forgive, we're the one that suffers, not the other person. We're the ones that's suffering. So finding freedom in forgiveness is the key. And I'm going to share a book with you after that my brother Howard Katz wrote. But we need to find freedom in forgiveness, because if we don't forgive, it produces within us misery, bitterness, revenge, and wrath. You know, and what is in the heart comes out of the mouth. So let's talk about, how do we forgive other people? I mean, those deep emotional hurts that were caused by other people probably aren't your fault. People have suffered terrible injustices. And the whole thought of letting them go is a very, very difficult thing. We know that we've been forgiven, but if we're honest with ourselves, we find it very, very challenging and difficult. And I think it's okay to start right there. I think it's okay to start off with, "Lord, I feel so hurt. This has been so difficult for me, Lord." But the Lord understands. He understands if it's been injustice. The wonderful thing is God will give us the grace. So let's talk about forgiveness. And I want to talk about the first idea, that we overcome evil with good. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 14. This is what he says. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. And if it is all possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." The key here is overcoming evil with good. It's choosing to do the right thing, not how you feel. Your feelings may say they don't deserve it. But ask the Lord to show you how you can overcome evil with good. The very first thing you can do is pray for those who've treated you nasty. So when I was offended, or attempted to be offended by that on that ministry trip where that person took offense at me, I just blessed them. I thanked them in person, and I chose to bless them in Jesus' name. And that is such a powerful principle. In university, Howard had this friend that he made. He was a fellow student, and at first it didn't start off very good. Howard was a brand new Christian. He was so excited about Jesus, and he was sharing Jesus with everyone. And this one guy who was not a Christian was very antagonistic to Howard. He would persecute him. He would humiliate him. He would irritate him. And Howard was so angry at the way he was treated with him. And Howard was thinking in his heart, "I hope he goes to hell just to prove I'm right, when he gets there." And all of a sudden, he felt conviction. The joy left him, and the Lord spoke to his heart and said, he just had two words that God spoke to Howard: pray for him. Well, that was the Lord, I can tell you that, because that's consistent with God's word. And Howard said it was so hard to pray for him. And, you know, it's with clenched teeth, he prayed for this man's salvation. And every night, the Lord spoke to him to pray for this man. So every night, and by the third or fourth night, Howard had joy praying for this man. In fact, he'd totally forgiven him, and he was completely free. Well, a little while later, this man came up to him in the at the university, and he says, "I want to talk to you about God tomorrow." So Howard thought that was great. The next day, they had a half an hour conversation, and Howard shared Christ with him. And shortly after that, the man came to faith in Christ, and today he's a pastor, and he has a ministry going to the Philippines, and he has touched the world. And God did a wonderful miracle because Howard chose to bless his enemy. And of course, what a great story that is, that these, like, maybe he'll be like an Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was persecuting the church. The church was praying for Paul. It wasn't cursing him. So as believers, when offense rises up, remember, overcome evil with good. So I believe that we could pray for our enemies and do good to your enemies when you have the opportunities. It says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Wait till your enemy is hungry before you feed him, because otherwise it may be like throwing pearl before a swine. Sometimes we try and do something good prematurely. Ask God for the time and ask God to direct you. How can I do good for this person? This person's really hurt me, but Lord, give me the grace. The wonderful thing is, don't worry about changing your feelings. Walk in obedience, and God will take care of your feelings, just like Howard, in that when he was just treated terribly by this other engineer. Howard started praying for him, and Howard finally got the breakthrough in his heart. God wants to give you that freedom and that breakthrough, so we're not controlled by those strong emotions that can be very, very destructive. I think of another story. Corrie ten Boom, who was a famous Christian from Holland, during the Second World War, her family hid Jewish people in their home. Eventually, they were caught by the Nazis. She and her sister ended up in Ravensbrück concentration camp. And while they were in the concentration camp, her sister died. And finally, Corrie was set free. And after the war, she was going throughout Germany, and she was preaching forgiveness and reconciliation. And one day at one of these meetings, while she's preaching afterwards, a man came up to her, whom she recognized as the most cruel guard at Ravensbrück, who humiliated the women and treated them horribly. And she knew that he wouldn't have remembered her because there were so many people there, but she certainly remembered him. And with the death of her sister coming to her mind, all those feelings of bitterness and anger came to her, and she just froze as he came up to her. And she was thinking in her heart, "Lord, I can't forgive him. I can't forgive him." All those horrible feelings, so strong. And she said to the Lord, she prayed this wise prayer, "God, I can't forgive him, but you can. Would you forgive him through me?" And he came up to her and said, "I was one of the cruel guards at Ravensbrück concentration camp. I'm a Christian now, and I've repented of my sins. Would you forgive me?" And she stretched forth her hand. It was everything within her. She stepped out by faith, and by faith she took his hand. And as soon as she took his hand, the power of Christ's forgiveness flowed through her, and she was completely released from bondage. And I just think it's so wise. She couldn't forgive, but the Lord could forgive him through her. And that's often how we have to treat those forgiveness. God, give me your grace. We look diligently for the grace of God. And that's the way we come overcome evil with good. Can you forgive those who have hurt you? Can you come and be willing? When we come to Christ, we're really giving up our rights to ourselves, but we belong to him. And as we belong to him, we have to follow him. That's what lordship means. And God has called us to forgive others. God doesn't ask you to do it in your own strength. You can't. You can't carry that burden. It's a burden too heavy for you. It is too heavy for me. But we can come to God in our honesty and our humanity and our brokenness and say, "God, I've been so hurt by that pastor, but I choose to forgive. Would you help me forgive that person? I'm willing to forgive." And I think the first part is to acknowledge the hurt. It's okay to feel hurt. You know, the difference between hurt and being bitter. If you get a cut, let's say I get a cut on my hand, maybe it's an accident. It really hurts. It hurts because we get cut. We're walking in this world. We're going to get wounds. Now, once I get the wound, I have to clean the wound. I have to wash it with soap. I put antiseptic on it, maybe an antibiotic. I have to keep it clean. I have to bandage it up. The wound will hurt for a while, but eventually the wound will heal up. But let's say I don't clean the wound. and it gets infected. Well, it'll get worse and it'll keep being infected until I get rid of the infection. That's bitterness. Wounds are there and it's okay to feel hurt. Bitterness is the infection that sets in when we choose not to forgive. We cleanse the wounds of our heart by choosing forgiveness. And it's a process. It's not like you just say once, I've forgiven, but you come to God. And if it still hurts, keep praying for the person that hurt you and then change your mind. Don't keep meditating on that. Choose, just pray for that person. See, the enemy wants you to hold an offense against the person to bring division, because that's the enemy's purpose. But if you choose to walk in healing and forgiveness, you're overcoming evil with good. I think of Joseph in the Bible who forgave his brothers. I'm sure there were times when he was in prison thinking, I'm here because of my brothers. How dare they put me here? But he finished his time. We don't know that, by the way. It doesn't say that, but we do know he forgave them because he said this, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So think that God is over all these things. He has got a good plan no matter what you're going through. You can forgive them because they will not hold you back from your destiny as you walk in the freedom of Christ. In fact, all these offenses, all these wounds can become servants to fulfill the destiny that God has for you. If you walk in humility and dependence on God and you trust Him, He will use this for something good. And don't you want to be used for something good? Don't you want to look beyond the offense? Like Brother Reinhard Bonnke, who didn't take offense at all the things that came against him because he knew in his mind that his heart was on the harvest, that he was called to something greater. He wasn't going to be distracted by the offenses. And I think God wants you and wants me to not become distracted by offenses. And that's why we can choose forgiveness. Look what it says, that we forgive because of Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So we forgive others just because Jesus has asked you, because Jesus forgave us, so we forgive others. He says this in verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Make no mistake that forgiving other people is the altar of sacrifice. It's the place where we sacrifice our own interests. We give up ourselves to choose to forgive other people. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 says, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Forgiving others is the best way of demonstrating Christ to a lost world. When we walk in forgiveness, there's something about the quality of life that you demonstrate that is supernatural, and that's walking in the supernatural. When offense comes, turn it into prayer and blessing for the offender. 1 Peter 3, 9 says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So we're to forgive other people their offenses because this is how Christ is glorified in our lives. It's not easy, but God will give us the power, and it's a process. So be patient with yourself. The healing of the wound may not come right away, but the choice to forgive starts today. And we walk in forgiveness until we get complete freedom. And that takes time, so be patient with yourself. The hardest person to forgive, in fact, may be yourself. You know, when we look back over our life and the longer we live, you know, there's things that we regret. There's obviously things we've done wrong. There may be missed opportunities. There may be things we'd wish we'd said to people that we hadn't. We can all regret the failures from the past. But the Bible doesn't want us to live in ungodly sorrow. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Worldly sorrow is living in a state of misery and bondage to failures that you can't fix. There's something about the thought that you've missed the opportunity never to be able to fix it again. And God says, no, you've repented. What's behind is behind, and we've turned to the right path. Look ahead at the days ahead. You can't change the past, but you can certainly walk with God through the future. So let godly repentance, putting the past behind and moving ahead, leading to salvation. God wants to use your life redemptively. Look at what Paul says in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Listen to this. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forget the things that are behind, whatever failures you may have done, forget them. Put them behind. Now you may be thinking, yeah, but I've wasted so much of my life. You know what's interesting? I remember years ago when I've talked to young people when I was a lot younger, and they said, I want to wait till I'm old before I serve Christ. Yeah, I believe it, but I want to live my life. It's almost like they thought that they were cheating God, but I've never found an older person that's received Christ that has not regretted not receiving Christ and walking with him sooner. There was a man that came to faith at 75 years of age, and at that time, he was dying of cancer, and he said, you know, I'm so grateful to know I'm going to heaven, but I think of all the years I wasted in the world not serving Christ. I wish I had known Christ sooner. That's the real perspective. But look at what Joel chapter 2 and verse 25 says. I will restore to you the years the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent among you. You know, God will restore the wasted years. And this man lived another almost 20 years when he thought he was dying at 75. He lived, I think he was 95 when he died. And he'd led many people to Christ in those years. Of course, he'd wished that he had served the Lord earlier. But you know what? God restored to him the years that the locusts have eaten. You know, in conclusion, you know, no one can carry the burden of unforgiveness. It's not humanly possible. And you don't have to. You can come to Jesus and give him that burden and help him live through you. I just want to share a beautiful book that my brother Howard Katz has written. And it's called The Freedom in Forgiveness. And if you'd like to phone the church and get a copy, you can call them at 519-438-6005 or email the church at odcf@odcf.ca, and you can ask for a copy of this book, and I think they'll tell you how much it costs. We can make arrangements for you to get it, or you can get it on Kindle, and so you can buy this and purchase it. If you have a Kindle account, you can buy this book on Kindle. It's a wonderful book on forgiveness, and I recommend everyone read it. Today we just talked about forgiveness because it's such an important subject. I feel that I've only touched the surface. I hope it's been an encouragement for you. And if you're struggling with unforgiveness and you want prayer, please call the church. We'll pray for you. We don't need to know the specifics, but we can certainly come alongside of you. This is one of the huge areas where Satan has many people in bondage. Unforgiveness keeps people in bondage, and we want to see you set free. And if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to, that's the greatest forgiveness you can receive. There's only three things you have to do. Admit you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, died on the cross for your sins, and rose from the dead, and ask him to personally come into your life, forgive you of your sins. You could pray a little prayer with me right now and receive Jesus. If you're ready, pray this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you that Jesus Christ, your Son, died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. And I ask that you forgive all my sins and come into my heart, and I offer my life to you. And Lord, if there's anything that I've done that has hurt you, Father God, would you just bring it to my mind right now? And for those who've hurt me, would you give me the grace to forgive those who've also sinned against me? Give me your grace. I want to walk in your forgiveness. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. I hope it's been a blessing to you.